Hi, I'm Rebecca Sesney, and I'm here with Kevin Riley, who is a world traveler and goes on many volunteer trips. He has recently come back from a trip to Nepal. Thank you for being with us today, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
Have you always been a world traveler?
Yeah, I guess in some respects I have. My father was in the military when I was a child, so we traveled around a lot.
Well, what inspired you to go to Nepal?
Every year I had always wanted to go on a big trip. I spent the summer working hard, saving my money, and Nepal had always been one of those places that I wanted to just go and check it out and see what it was like. So,
This wasn't a leisure trip, though.
No, actually, the way I had been traveling for the past few years was something called voluntourism, I guess is the term that many people use. It's a kind of a hybrid of volunteering and tourism at the same time, where I would actually go to places and volunteer, but I covered most of the cost of the traveling and the cost of living as well.
Do you get to choose what kind of volunteering you do?
To a certain extent, you do. You can decide whether you want to do work in an orphanage or if you wanted to do teaching.
How did they respond to you when you first came there?
The kids were fantastic. They wanted to come over and play, and there were some that were very shy, some that were very bold. But for the most part, the kids were great, and it was a lot of fun being there. But from a teaching perspective, I'm not sure if we really learned a lot from each other as much as we had a lot of fun with each other.
Was there any training that went into volunteering and teaching before you left for Nepal?
For the program that I was doing, no. And this is the big problem with voluntourism, really. It's a business. So there are people that are making money off of it. And there's also people that want to do this volunteering type of trip. And oftentimes, you're going to wind up in situations where we're not very well, a person might not be very well prepared or not qualified for it.
Were you nervous or scared going over? Did you feel prepared?
No. Yeah, I was nervous going over there.
What was that like?
It was very peaceful and calming, and at the same time, very frustrating, because at times there's a lot of nonverbal communication and a lot of one-sided conversations. It was sometimes just hard if you wanted to talk to somebody. That just didn't happen.
How receptive were people to you and other volunteers in the area?
For the most part, people were very friendly, especially in the countryside. Lots of waves. But then again, at the same time, we're foreigners. And so sometimes people were a little shy, a little standoffish. You got used to people staring at you. It was interesting. I wasn't going to say it was unsettling or unnerving, really. It was just a different way of seeing things. I mean, I kind of understood that I was the big white guy with red hair walking around. So if I was going to get stared at, then I was going to get stared at.
But did you bond with any of them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there was a couple of them that I would spend a lot of time with during our lunch breaks, especially in the orphanage. There was the boys there, the younger boys that were, they were 13, 14, 15 years old. There were only women working in the orphanage. So I would spend a lot of time with these kids, and we would get into a lot of conversations about, life in America.
What kinds of things did they ask you?
Oh, they want to know about girls. That's what they wanted. There was nobody there to answer any questions about girls, so that's what we talked about. I didn't teach anybody how to put a condom on a banana or anything, but we would talk about certain things. And I found myself in trying to figure out exactly how a father would explain something like this and avoiding it altogether. That was uncomfortable. That's a little unsettling. They would ask me things about women in America, if I had a girlfriend, if I was in love with anybody, or, they wanted to know about girls or what they should do to impress girls. That was a big question.
Would you go back?
I think right now, if you're not going to stay in one place for that long, then the volunteering is really not going to do much. There are parts of it that I do miss. The mountains. Actually, the mountains and waking up every morning staring out at them. Something else when you can go up to the roof of the place you're staying in and you see the Himalayas out in the distance.
If you continue to volunteer, where would you go next?
Oh, strictly from a volunteer standpoint, I would probably want to go back to Africa.
How has the experience left you?
I think at times it's left me a little jaded about NGOs and about volunteering, about donating money and seeing where everything goes. But on the flip side of that, it's also shown me that there's a lot of people out there that really do want to help and go out and do good things for the world and make the world a better place.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today.
All right. Thanks for having me.